Committee on Human Resources. May 25, 1987. Today there'll be a public hearing and possible work session on SB 549A, and a work session on SB 511A and SB 336.
Start with Senate Bill 549 from Portland Fair Share. Ruth? Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Katulski and members of the committee. My name is Ruth Latham, and I'm a member of Fair Share. Today, I would like to discuss Senate Bill 549, which deals with Medicare assignment posting. When President Johnson signed the Medicare legislation bill way back in 1965, he said, "No longer will older Americans be denied the healing miracle of modern medicine. No longer will illness crush and destroy savings that they have so carefully put away over a lifetime so they might enjoy dignity in their later years." And I'd like to stress that word, dignity. Now, this dream has slowly been becoming a nightmare for senior citizens and others on Medicare. Then Medicare assignment was instituted in 1983 as a cost containment measure. Under the assignment program, each medical procedure is assigned a reasonable rate of reimbursement based on prevailing and customary charges. Physicians are given a choice as to whether or not they wish to sign up. First, the medical profession balked at the reimbursement rate, and so the rates were raised. Then the objection was that the claims processing took too long. Now claims are processed within 10 working days. Doctors accepting Medicare assignment then accept the amount that Medicare reimburses them and may charge the patients an additional 20%. If doctors refuse assignment, they may charge their patients whatever, in their estimation, their patients are able to pay. So if I visit my doctor and I'm wearing a pretty substantial sparkler on my finger, my doctor may think that I'm a pretty well-heeled lady. The fact is that that sparkler could very well be a Diamel. And believe me, in my case, it would be a Diamel. So much for perceptions of people's ability to pay. About 2 weeks ago, I read a letter to the editor of the Oregonian from a senior citizen who had spent considerable amount of money each month for supplemental Medicare insurance. Her doctor accepted his Medicare and supplemental insurance fees and in addition sent her a whopping bill, and she was appalled. Now, this story is repeated of thousands of times each month. And then don't forget that many senior citizens cannot even afford supplemental insurance. Despite all of the hard work done by Fair Share, the Oregon Health Action Committee, and many senior citizen groups working together, to date, only about 24% of Oregon doctors have accepted assignments. 76% have chosen not to participate. Based on the estimates from the Healthcare Finance Administration, which is the federal agency which administers Medicare, in Oregon alone, in 1986, seniors paid over $40 million in overcharges. Now, some doctors will not accept assignment for all of their Medicare patients, but say they will accept it on a case-by-case basis. I believe that doctors just can't conceive how difficult it is for their patients to approach them. Many of us feel intimidated by our doctors. Perhaps we don't express ourselves well, or we cannot face the demeaning process of asking for relief on our bills. We've been self-reliant and independent all of our lives. And beyond that, and very important, most of us sincerely like our doctors and have a good relationship with them. And the last thing we want to do is to jeopardize that relationship so that when we return to the doctor, it would be different. We're very vulnerable on this score. And then after the patient has put everything on the line, some doctors will lower the bill, but many, many others, the majority, will not. Senate Bill 549 provides a way to bypass some of this trauma. It mandates that doctors post in their waiting rooms notices that clearly state whether or not the doctor accepts Medicare assignment and provides an explanation of charges in either case. That way, the patient will have some idea of what to expect in terms of a billing. It would seem that this is a very small and painless concession for the medical community to make on behalf of its Medicare patients. And ladies and gentlemen, we ask for your favorable vote on this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth. Are there questions for Ruth? No clapping, sorry. Questions for Ruth? If not, thank you very much, Ruth. Nadie Davis? Did I pronounce that right? Mr. Davis?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, that's all right. I've been called a lot of other things.
So has the chair.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Nathan Davis. Call me Nate Short. I'm the president of the Oregon State Council of Senior Citizens, a member of the Executive Board of the United Seniors, member of the Great Panthers, member of the American Association of Retired People. I'm a senior advocate. I'm here today just to take in one aspect of this struggle to attain Medicare assignment. I've been with Oregon Health Action Campaign, Fair Share, for the last 2.5 years, trying to attempt to get the Oregon Medical Association and the doctors here in the state of Oregon to accept Medicare assignment. I believe, if my figures are correct, there's about 21 to 22% of the doctors in the state of Oregon that accept Medicare assignment. There's about 5 doctors in the city of Salem that accept assignment, and the rest don't. We, in this struggle here in the last 2.5 years, that has came to a point, and in the Senate, we struggled to get Medicare assignment. We had very difficulty. We're fighting the Oregon Medical Association. We're fighting doctors. It's a very difficult type of a struggle. We were not successful. We felt that, okay, probably we can make a compromise here, at least have a right to know on the part of senior citizens, so that when they walk into a doctor's office, they'll be able to determine whether that doctor is going to accept Medicare assignment or he is not going to accept Medicare assignment. If he accepts Medicare assignment, they know just basically what they're going to have to pay. That's 80% of what the government says, and they'll pay that 20%. If the doctor does not accept Medicare assignment, they're expecting another high bill, and they don't know exactly what it could be. And we don't think that's fair. We believe that if a senior, particularly seniors today, who are living in a high cost of living, many of them on Social Security, of course, many of them who have been on Social Security a good many years, so that their Social Security income in those days, 10 years ago and 15 years ago, is nothing today. I know that. I'm not talking from what I read. I know that as an advocate because I was involved in the senior centers down here in the city of Salem. I was on a fix-it brigade, and I was on a LEAP, Low Income Energy Assistance Program, as a volunteer. I know that many, many seniors in this area are impoverished, living way below the poverty level, and if they need medical care, they're not going to go in to see a doctor, because most of them, when I talk to them, they're very proud people. They don't like welfare. They don't like handouts. And certainly, when they walk into a doctor's office, they should be at least able to understand whether that doctor's going to accept Medicare assignment, so that they have a general idea of what they're going to pay. And I feel that this bill, a revised, compromised bill, is something, at least a foot in the door, at least will allow a senior to be able to determine whether her doctor accepts Medicare assignment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nate. Any other questions? Representative Carter.
Let me, since you made one point in terms of seniors being very proud and wanting to pay their way, is there another way we can do it without posting? And my reason for asking that question is that, to me, that's another way of people, of kind of putting people down to that we accept Medicare. Is there a way that a list could go out to those doctors who do accept Medicare and still allow some dignity to be kept into the lives of many of our seniors? Because to go into a doctor's office and say we accept Medicare could be perceived as being a form of discrimination as well.
Well, I don't have the total answer to that, Representative Carter, Chairman. I only know that we have sat down and tried to work out some method by which a right to know on the part of the elderly, you know, and we feel that this at least is some sort of a compromise. This, at least when a senior walks into a doctor's office and there is a posting, and we will try to make that aware as senior advocates to the seniors, that they will be able to determine.
Sure. My point is, even if you were to go to the doctor, you still don't know until you get there. So
that's
I'm
right.
Saying, if there were a list, so that people, before they even get there, they'll know whether a doctor accepts Medicare or not. Kind of think about that one. Maybe somebody else coming up can answer that or give me their perspective toward that one. Because I think that might make a big difference, because it doesn't make sense to go to the doctor, waste the time to make an appointment, then go to the doctor only to get there to see if he accepts Medicare. I'm saying maybe a list given out over whatever period of time in terms of those doctors who will accept Medicare would be much more beneficial than just waiting until they get there.
Well, let me see if, Nate, do you know if of the 22% of the doctors that do accept a Medicare assignment, is there a list of those doctors available to consumer senior advocates?
We have a list, Chairman. We have a list of the doctors that accept assignment. Yes, we do.
Okay. So that already exists then?
That list exists.
Yes. Okay. Representative Picker?
Ron, this is an imaginary scenario. I'm 80 years old and I want to go to a doctor, and it's a doctor I haven't visited before. I have several choices. I can call and ask him or his receptionist whether or not he accepts Medicare. I can actually go to the office, and I can, under this bill, if it was on the wall, then I would have my question answered. But if this bill didn't pass, I would still have the option, let's say, like I would now under present law, of just going up to reception and asking, very simply, does your doctor, he or she, accept it or not? Is that correct? So
yes.
you're actually either, you can do it by phone, but if you're there physically, you still can ask prior to any kind of engagement of the doctor.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Pickard, this doesn't usually happen with, it's a scenario that if it were to occur would probably take care of the problem, but it does not happen because most seniors will not call. We were here on the question of prescription drugs, the posting of prescription drugs, on the same whole question. Seniors are either going to see a doctor that they know or have association with over the years, or they're going to go to another doctor, and they're not going to. There are some seniors probably that would call, but I would say that the majority of seniors are reluctant to call a doctor. They're reluctant to ask a price. They're thinking in terms of health. It's not like buying a can of beans, you know. They're thinking in terms of their health, and they're reluctant to do that. So there has to be some agency or somebody to try to help them out in that situation. And that's why we're senior advocates.
Representative Van Leeuwen.
Two things. I think in nearly every case, the person would have had to have called the doctor's office to make an appointment. At least I haven't been able to walk into the doctor's office and get an appointment, I mean, and just be seen without having pre-scheduled an appointment. I would think at that time that they could ask, but in the interim, and we had it discussed since we've been in this committee, we were sent a list of what different doctors charge for different things. We each received it, I assume, as legislators. Did it not on that also give whether the doctor accepted the Medicare group? Who knows who put that out?
Shifted.
I was going to say, it seems like shifted, but do we have anyone here who would have that information?
Do you watch that book?
Yes.
Okay, let's, you know, if you're signed up to come up, we'll get you in a minute. Do you have another question, Representative Van Loon?
No, it was, well, my thing was, why couldn't that be added to that list? Or they say they have some list. I don't know whether it's the same list or not that I'm talking about.
Well, I think that the testimony from Nate, though, is that having the list for statewide for physicians isn't going to help you when you go into a doctor's office when you're concerned about your health know at that particular point. I mean, that takes a lot of, you know, I don't know, Representative Van Loon, how orderly your life is. I suspect it is, but me, if I get a list, I lose it within about 3 or 4 hours.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Abrams.
I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how this is going to help you, because by your own statements, you said, and I do too, go to a doctor because he's a physician that knows me. You know, I've been taking care of my problems for a lot of years. Or something has been detected, and my own doctor said, I want you to see Dr. So-and-so, because this is the sort of thing that he does, you know, and I want you to go let him have a look at you. Now, in both of those cases, you're going to a doctor because you want his medical services and you have reasons for going there. And price is not the object. As a matter of fact, in a lot of towns in Oregon, you don't have that much choice either. You know, there's one internal specialist and there may be two guys that do this other kind of specialty and so forth. And shopping isn't going to help you much. These are the doctors who are available. They're the ones that have the skills that you need. And so you go. And that's the way the world works. What difference is it going to make to you at that point if you know, without having to ask, you know, and you have a sign there that says that this particular person is participating in the Medicare assignment program, because you're going to go there anyway and you're going to pay the bill. You got to have it. How is the sign going to help? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How's it going to get your costs down?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Agron, this is perhaps just another step in the direction of trying to get everybody aware of the question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
Wilma Britton. Wilma? Welcome, Wilma.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. First, in response to what Representative Agrons said,
that's fair.
I believe I would, if I were in a situation like that, I would ask the physician why not, why he doesn't have, and if there were this posted sign, point to it and say, why aren't you one of the participating doctors. I am Wilma Gritton, and I live here in Salem, have for a number of years. And I've been an active member of Oregon Fair Share since 1977. Affordable quality health care for seniors deserves very serious consideration. Fair Share has been evaluating the situation for several years and has found that a key problem in Oregon is not enough doctors here accept Medicare assignment, the reasonable charge that has already been discussed. Only 22% of all physicians in Oregon participate in Medicare, and this is well below the national average of 29%. Here in Marion County, only 6.9% of all doctors do accept assignment 100% of the time. I believe the difference here in my statement and Nate's is that I believe his report did not include Kaiser doctors. I think it's pretty well known that a good number of seniors feel that a doctor's office is somewhat sacrosanct. They often feel it's inappropriate and awkward to be asking about costs before physician services are rendered. But that is a right that every American should have, to know what the costs will be for any product or service they purchase and how payments can be made. They need to know this before they make a choice of providers, in this case, doctors. Senate Bill 549 would allow seniors to know prior to deciding on a physician what prices to expect. The sign required for all physicians' offices also encourages seniors to ask questions concerning fees. Currently, Oregon ranks 44th among all states in the total number of Medicare claims filed at the reasonable rate. This means that even on a case-by-case basis, our doctors accept assigned fees far less often than doctors elsewhere in the country. Senate Bill 549 can be one that we would be proud of and be expected to encourage doctors to accept reasonable rates more often from their senior patients. As you already know, no doubt, in this state, the problem of seniors living in poverty is severe. The average gross income among seniors is $7,700 a year, or about $650 per month. This compares to doctors' net income of $90,000 per year. And I'm not proud of the prospect of seeing seniors spend $1 of every five, or 18.9% of their incomes, on health care by the end of the decade. Senate Bill 549 would encourage doctors to be more competitive in their fees to seniors and thus help control seniors' health care costs. So Marion County Fair Share encourages you to vote yes on Senate Bill 549. The bill would cost the state nothing. It will cost doctors only the prices of the signs, and it provides a needed service for seniors. And there's really no reason to vote against it, and we'd like to see you move this bill out of committee today with a unanimous yes vote and a do pass recommendation to the full House. And I do thank you for your time.
Thank you, Wilma. I'd like to see that happen, too. So I'm going to ask the witnesses that are going to testify on this to continue the succinctness so that we can move into work session on this bill before too long. Fran Boyd? Welcome, Fran. we had some of your words on the record already without any identification as to where they were coming from.
Okay. I'm Fran Boyd, and I'm from Eugene, Lynn County. I have a BS in public affairs, and I've worked as a licensed practical nurse, social worker, and as a disability examiner. After many years of ill health, I became disabled with multiple sclerosis. Therefore, I'm on Social Security disability insurance and Medicare, with the recent decision giving me retroactive benefits back to July 1, 1984. Prior to becoming disabled, I worked for Voc Rehab Disability Determination Services here in Salem as a disability examiner from June 81 to January 85. My income was $1,800 per month. My insurance was paid for by my employer, which also picked up 80% of my medication cost. My income now on Social Security Disability Insurance is $526 a month, and I pay, out of that, I pay Medicare $1,750, Supplemental Insurance Select Care $33, my medication runs me $125 a month, and I co-pay to doctors $10 each month, or a total of $185 per month for my medical expenses, which is rough to me. To say the least, I've had to make physical, emotional, and financial adjustments as a result of the unpredictability of my MS. Some would say I'm a victim of MS. I don't think I'm a victim of MS, but instead a victim of the medical establishment. I have a relapsing, remitting type of MS, which took me up and down for many years before a diagnosis was made. However, the last 3 years, my medical bills are over $32,000, with 1986, $18,000. Because of the complexity of my medical problems and the way the medical system works, I end up with five physicians. My primary care physician is an internist. I have to have a neurologist for my MS. I have to have a urologist, an allergist, an orthopedist. While this system covers the doctors very well for malpractice, it fragments and is not a very cost-effective medicine for me. However, I'm stuck with the system because I need these specialties. Financially, I'm going into the hole every visit. I'm forced to carry the supplemental insurance because I don't think in Lane County I would get the medical care. The only person really gaining from all this is the physicians. I don't like to feel like I'm in the victim role. I like to feel I have some control over my life. Therefore, I've decided to be a volunteer and an activist to not only benefit myself but other disabled and seniors. As a result, I do some volunteer work for the MS Society as their editor of their newsletter and assist MS patients through the disability process, as well as a volunteer with Senior Law Service. And all of this is done on my own time and energy level, but it keeps me going. I'm here today to ask you to vote in favor of the Medicare posting bill because I see a lot of MS patients and seniors who could benefit a great deal from this bill. It would also help us maintain some dignity and self-respect. Most MS patients are like myself. We're struck down with this disease in the prime of our life. We've worked hard for our education and to obtain good jobs and benefits. We're a strong and determined group of people. We don't like to take charity, but we don't like to have to feel like beggars either. For those of us who worked and paid into Social Security disability, it is the roughest. While our income is a little higher than those on Social Security supplement income, we're only eligible for Medicare, and our medication is not paid for. If you're on SSI, everything is paid for in total. Doctors know our dilemma. They know what we're faced with. It. They should accept Medicare assignment. For people like me and a lot of us, there's about 350 people in Southern Oregon that have MS. We have an average income of $7,000. Women are impacted the most because our earnings have been less. On the other hand, physicians' income is $97,000 to $110,000 per year. Nationwide, only 29% accept Medicare. In Oregon, 21%, and in Lane County, it's 10% that accept Medicare assignment. I think doctors in Lane County could be just a little less greedy
For me, I have five doctors, and only two of my doctors accept Medicare assignment. One of them I never asked for. The other one has a sign in his office that says he accepts Medicare assignment. When I began working in medicine at 19 years old, working as a nurse's aide, I'm now 47, doctors were more concerned about the welfare of their patients than they were about making money. That's changed now.
Fran?
It shouldn't be that way.
Fran, could I ask you to keep your comments in terms of the bill itself, please?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay. I just wanted to give some other examples of some folks that I have several here that are in the same situation as me, with income of around $500 to $600, and have large outstanding bills. I know out of my $18,000 bill last year, I paid $1,300 out of my pocket alone, and I just think this bill would help.
Not at the immediate care center.
All right.
Okay. Other questions for the center?
Well,
if not, thank you, Senator.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, okay. Let's make it quick, folks, please.
Real quick.
We have a full schedule today.
Senator, would you, as being the author of the bill, have any problem with an amendment that, in addition to the two signs that are listed here, include a third sign that would, like the last one under Section 3, is not participating, perhaps say is not always participating, as a third sign? Because we heard Mr. Gallen say there's really three practices. There are some who are 100% participating. There are some that are zero and are just not going to have anything to do with it. There are others that do it on a case-by-case basis. And while they don't seem to be objecting to a sign, they want the patient to know one way or the other.
Representative Agron, let me ask Kevin Coons, is it?
Yes.
Come up, and he might better be
okay,
able to answer
right.
that question for you.
But because there appears to be a possibility of.
I think that the.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Kevin Coons. I'm the director of the Oregon Health Action Campaign, a coalition that has worked on this bill. I think the sentiments that were expressed by the Scott Gallen from the OMA are not quite an accurate depiction of how Medicare works. Participation is a contractual agreement between doctors and the federal government. You are either a participating physician, which means that you agree to accept the assigned rate on 100% of your cases, or you are a non-participating physician. The definition of a non-participating physician is one who agrees, who may or may not charge the reasonable rate. So we really have two cases. Legally and contractually, there are two cases. One is the participating physician, and the second is the non-participating physician, who may or may not charge above the reasonable rate. The language in the bill tries to address
those two
cases.
Excuse me for just a moment, Kevin. Thank you, Senator, for coming over. Okay.
I think that, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
sure.
point out something, Scott.
Kevin,
excuse me. That's one I owe you. The average person who goes into this doctor's office is not going to understand what a participating or a non-participating and what the various ramifications are of how the federal government defines these things. What the person wants to know and needs to know is this person going to take care of the whole thing? Or am I going to get stuck with a big bill over that? Or have I got a chance to dicker? And there's those three options there. You're absolutely right. The non-participant falls into two other categories. One category in which the doctor says, I'm not going to have a thing to do with this. You come in here, you're going to pay my bill. And the person, it would seem, rather than get into a rancorous debate with the doctor, ought to know that this person is firm. I know you're dickering. But on the other hand, here's a fellow that says, I'm going to take them on a case-by-case basis. Some I will, some I won't. And that's one of the things we need to talk about. So whether or not that non-participant, if I understood correctly, falls into two categories, and it seems to me it's important to the patient to know which of those two categories this person is in.
Unfortunately, Representative, we have no way of determining which physicians are doing it on a case-by-case basis and which are not. There are two legal statuses for physicians. Yeah. We've tried to write a sign which says may rather than shall.
But I guess my question was, would you have an objection to a sign that says this physician never participates, period, and a sign that says this physician sometimes participates, well, talk to me about it.
I think, if I understand what Kevin is saying, that under federal law, you either accept it on assignment or you don't. Now, it's not a question of Medicare assignment when the physician makes an individual exception.
I thought that's what we said
No, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, is that you have physicians.
We better get Scott up here because I thought that's what he told us.
I think that is what he said, but I think from what Kevin is saying that that's incorrect.
Well, we got to get that straight, Mr. Chairman, one way or the other.
Mr. Chair, because I think it's sometimes it's different on every DRG.
Okay, let me ask Scott.
That's right.
Okay, let me ask Scott this question.
Yeah.
If a physician is not on Medicare assignment, can he legally say that he accepts Medicare assignment, those terms, federal terms, on an individual basis? Does the federal law give him that option? Or does it simply say that on an individual discretionary basis, he may charge voluntarily no more than Medicare? Do you see the distinction that I'm making?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I understand what you're saying. Kevin is correct. The federal law says that a physician, certain time periods, has to say whether or not he accepts assignment 100% of the time in his contract. And excuse me for misstating it. I thought I'd made it clear. Apparently, I didn't. Non-participating physicians voluntarily on a case-by-case basis can accept assignment as payment in full or may on a case-by-case basis charge more than the Medicare assignment rate. My point was that where you have a fairly large number, apparently, of case-by-case acceptances of assignment, 50% to 60% of the claims filed every month, it is obviously a very important option for the elderly to be aware that the physician will do that on a case-by-case basis.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hammerstedt.
There is a confusion about the word assignment. Assignment means that Medicare will pay to the physician's office that amount that covers Medicare. If they don't participate in assignment, that amount goes to the patient, and the patient is responsible for the entire bill. So whether or not the physician correct me if I'm wrong about this, the physician then will bill the patient, which may or may not be above the amount of Medicare or copayment, but it's the patient's responsibility to forward that to the physician. The word assignment means the amount of money coming from Medicare to the patient, to the doctor, to the physician.
Correct.
For the patient.
And the decision the physician has to make to the feds, basically, is, yes, I will accept the payment of Medicare in full 100% of the time, or no, I will not accept Medicare payment in full 100% of the time. So again, I go back to basically the basic concepts that I discussed before. You really have at least three circumstances. The case-by-case basis is still a very important thing for the elderly person to know and to discuss with his or her physician.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Scott. Now, is there anybody that wants to testify on this that could give us any more information than we presently have? Well, I'm gonna discourage you. Come on up. I'm going to discourage people from doing that because we're running out of time, and if you want the bill today, or at least want us to vote on it, I want to limit testimony.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Douglas Alsop. I live in the Kaiser area, and I'm here today to speak in favor of Senate Bill 549. I hope what I have to say will answer a couple of things that have been brought up and left kind of open. Senate Bill 549 would relieve the senior patient from the humiliation and embarrassment of having to come out and challenge the doctor, for that's what it amounts to, is challenging the doctor as to what his what bill policies are. When I took my insurance policy, my agent suggested that to hold down my out-of-pocket expenses, I should ask my doctors whether they did or didn't accept Medicare assigned rates. And shortly thereafter, I had to see a doctor relative to a problem that called for some surgery. He's an eye, ear, and nose and throat specialist. And I asked him whether he accepted assignment. He said, now you're talking about case-to-case basis, he said that he would accept it. That's going case-to-case. When it came time to pay the bill, I was billed beyond about $500 worth, the reasonable fee, and I'm not in any dang position to put out that much more money. When I came back to the doctor's office to bicker about the bill, then I had to come back to the doctor's office to bicker about the bill. This is what we in Fair Share are trying to avoid. It really needles you to have to go through something like that. And I'm sure the problems about asking doctors about their bills affect a whole lot of other seniors in the same way. If Senate Bill 549 became law, rather than having to go through that humiliating experience, seniors could know up front what to expect in their medical billings. What my agent said was made sense. Ask your doctor about the bill. So I did it. But I felt like I was going in there and begging. And I don't think any senior should have to beg for decent, affordable health care. Besides that, Medicare prices are not unfair. They are fair, fair and reasonable. For the rates are based on the average rates of that area. Medicare would raise the rates if they were not fair. As Senate Bill 549 would allow seniors to know which of their doctors were fair share, were fair and reasonable. And it is, well, could be an aid to everyone else in that it would have put a handle on medical cost to some degree. And medical costs have already become too high. This bill is about the freedom of choice. It would give the senior the right to make that choice with the knowledge necessary to make a wise decision. They can choose their doctor to meet the needs of their, they could choose their doctor to meet the needs of their budgets. It costs the state nothing, and it would cost the doctors very little. I may say in this, as in other decisions that you make relative to the elderly people, judgments that you make for today's living elderly that are made in justifiable fairness will, in God's grace, become the fairness for yourselves for tomorrow. Now, please vote for Senate Bill 549.
Thank you.
I thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to say, do you want the bill or do you want to testify? Move to work session on Senate Bill 549.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ford.
Mr. Chair, I move that we delete Section 6 of Senate Bill 549.
Okay, Representative Ford moves that we delete Section 6, which is the emergency clause. Senator McCoy having indicated that there was no good reason to have it on. Discussion. Representative Pickard.
It occurs to me that this is about education. It's educating the seniors and it's educating the doctors. What you're really trying to do is put pressure on doctors.
Representative Pickard, may I interrupt you just for a second? We're just dealing with the amendment on the emergency clause at this point.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. We're not into the bill yet.
We're not on the bill yet.
I'll wait.
Thank you. Is there objection to the amendment eliminating the emergency clause? Okay. Amendment is accepted. Representative Pickard.
To the bill.
Well, we need a motion on the bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I propose another amendment, if I may.
You have another amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just like to toy with it a little bit, see what the committee thinks. I think that a third sign is in order. In addition to that doctor that always accepts an assignment and that doctor that never accepts an assignment, there is that doctor that sometimes accepts an assignment. And I think we ought to have a third sign that says so. People know where they stand.
Well, okay, Representative Ford.
Yeah. My response is that a third sign, if the doctor is not participating in the medical assignment program, nothing in law precludes a doctor who does it part-time from putting up any sign that he would want to make to that effect.
I understand that, but if I may, Mr. Chairman, we are mandating signs now. So then we ought to mandate them or not mandate them, it seems to me. And if we're going to mandate them, and there is, out of the three cases cited, one doctor who's willing to talk about it. The other two are not willing to talk about it. One of them says, I do it all the time, so don't bother me. The other one says, I'm not going to do it under any circumstances, so don't bother me. And the third guy says, talk to me. I want to talk to you. And the person needs to be able to walk in and look at one of those three and say, by golly, I want to talk to this doctor. And if it's clear, that's what people know what to expect then, and that's what we're trying to do. It makes sense to me, and if on that basis, just so that the committee can have a chance to chew on it, I would make that as a motion.
Do you have the specific language that you would like, Representative Begler?
Sure. A third sign would read physician's name, as it says here, sometimes participates in the, participates in the Medicare assignment program on a case-by-case basis.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me finish my motion, and I may accept friendly amendments
for
discussion.
Or unfriendly.
Yeah, or whatever, or vote it down. I don't care. We'll get rid of it anyway. And invite you to discuss his fees.
Okay. Does everybody have the language? Okay, discussion on the language. Representative Van Loon, did you have a comment on that language?
Yes, I did. Okay. Well, on the language and what he's putting it in, sort of overlaying, in my opinion. As far as I'm concerned, Section 3 basically does what he says, and if I understand...
One of the few times
Kevin
you and I
Coons,
agree, what? Representative Van Loon.
How about that? If I understand Kevin Coons directly, that participation, I mean, the patients need to know that when they're non-participating, the funds will not come directly to the doctor, they'll go to the individual. And as far as I'm concerned, Section 3, in essence, says what the new amendment
I think
proposes.
You should vote against my amendment, Representative.
Representative Hammerstedt.
Well, my comments were much the same as Representative Van Leeuwen's. If the physician is not participating, he doesn't have the option of participating. You can't do both. So if he's not participating and may legally charge you fees, you can inquire about that. I think that gives you the option there, that's the in-between.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Begert.
The humiliating option. My amendment would invite them to question. Is an invitation to talk about it, whereas I'm dealing with the several times expressed concern about having to humiliate oneself by getting inside this legal language. I'm trying to walk away from that and say, here is a doctor who may or may not do it and invites you to talk about it.
Okay. We have Representative Agron's language in front of us. I think everybody understands the essence of it. There is objection to it, so Carolyn, would you call the roll on that amendment?
Representative Agron?
Aye.
Representative Carter?
No.
Representative Ford?
No.
Representative French?
Aye.
Representative Haverstad?
No.
Representative Picker?
Aye.
Representative Shiprock?
No.
Representative Van Leeuwen?
No.
No. Amendment fails.
Three.
Okay, now, there are no further amendments.
Mr. Chair.
You have another amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right, Representative Ford.
I'm concerned that this law would have to be in all physicians' offices. I would prefer language that says, in Section 3, a physician not currently a participating member shall post the sign. I would prefer that it say, a physician currently, qualified but not, a physician, All right, what the intent is, I didn't write it down here correctly. What the intent is that it say, a qualified physician who is not participating, and in the Section 2, a qualified who is participating, to eliminate the need, as this bill, the way it's written, would have, for a pediatrician to post a sign one way or the other. Because the way it is now, a pediatrician would have to post one sign one way or the other.
Kevin, you have a comment on that? You understand the conception.
There are Medicare beneficiaries who are not seniors, who are disabled folks, as Fran Boyd has testified today. That is an unusual circumstance, but there are individuals who are Medicare beneficiaries.
And even a pediatrician might be, in fact, treating those people.
Yes.
Is that not correct?
Yes.
Right.
And the U.S. code itself that it references to, it does define those physicians who are participating or not participating. So, we are making clear reference to which physicians we're talking about.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. I'm fine.
You withdraw your
amendment?
Yes,
I do.
Good.
As long as...
Is there a motion on the bill?
I move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Shiprock moves Senate Bill 549 to the floor as amended with the due path recommendation. Discussion. Representative Pickard, we finally have gotten to speech time.
We're talking about education. And the fact that, in this case, part of the problem is educating seniors to realize that they're dealing with someone who is a technician. I liken it to taking my car and have it repaired, and I have no problem at all in talking to the mechanic about what he's going to do to my car. And I have the same attitude towards my doctor, and I respect both of those people and hold them in high regard. But it wasn't until I got that particular analogy clear in my mind that I became comfortable. There's no doubt about it. We deify the medical profession in our society, and I don't downplay at all the difficulty that comes to one who talks dollars and cents to their doctor. But what you're doing in this is twofold. You're making it easier for the seniors in that regard, but you're also putting a not so subtle pressure on the medical profession. And some people would think that's the best of all possible worlds. I understand that.
Okay. Other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Haverstad.
I'd just like to make a comment that with some of the negative comments about physicians and some of those negative feelings that have come out, and I can understand that, but I'm feeling very comfortable supporting and voting for this bill, even though my physician husband is sitting in the audience.
Representative Haverstad, could you point him out to us?
He's the gentleman sitting in the front row in the blue blazer.
Okay. Other comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Agra.
I'm pouting because my good amendment wasn't adopted, but I will support the bill because just last week I got my Medicare card.
Do you have to declare a conflict of interest? You
should.
Okay, Carolyn, would you call the roll?
Representative Carter?
Aye.
Representative Ford?
Aye.
Representative French?
Aye.
Representative Hasbad?
Aye.
Representative Kicker?
Aye.
Representative Shiprock?
Aye.
Representative Van Loon?
Aye.
Representative Agron?
Aye.
Chair Kowalski?
Aye. Senate Bill 549, is, as amended, is moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any volunteers for carrying it? Oh, wait, let me give it to Representative Hammerstadt. Okay, I'd like to open up the work session on Senate Bill 511. We still have work to do, folks. If you wish to talk, please go out. Thank you. Okay, there's some amendments in front of the committee on Senate Bill 511. These were the amendments that the committee instructed me to have prepared. And so you should have those now right in front of you.
Okay. Do you want me to...
Okay.
These...
Gordon?
Okay. These amendments are fairly straightforward. In line 5, the committee requested that the bill be limited to only apply to particular populations of the elderly and handicapped. There's a handy definition in the statutes, which is there referenced. The committee also asked that this law, that the division be directed to establish some reasonable standards. That's in line 8. Those standards are then brought into the law down in line 26, where the division says, okay, you got to comply with the standards. Now we've written them, and there's merely a grammatical correction in lines 11 and 12, which says if you operate without registration, that allows the inclusion. It's a more general description than failure to register.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I didn't understand that last statement on line 11.
The intent was to be able to apply the penalty to anyone who operates without registration but should be registered, is required to register. The previous language of failure to register doesn't necessarily... I am blanking on that. You'll have to let me think about the exact details,
Gordon,
of why that language works better.
We'll let you think about that. Discussion of the amendments.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Agra.
I'm concerned about Section 4. I like the amendment. I think that clears up one of the problems we had previously discussed, but as I read the whole thing again, the Senior Services Division staff is permitted access to enter and inspect. And skipping all the new language, a facility which the division has cause to believe are operating without registration in violation of the Act. Now, have we checked with some legal opinion that do they still have to get a search warrant, or can they just walk up and say, knock on the door and say, we have cause to believe for whatever reason and we want to come in and inspect? What do we know about that? Can we do that? Can a person, is that a legal thing to do? Just
in other words, I think the question you're raising, Representative Agrounds, would be something like this. You have a home, right?
Right.
Okay, all of a sudden...
I got some boarders.
Well, let's say you don't even have any boarders. Okay. All of a sudden, Senior Services shows up at your doorstep and says, we're here because we have cause to believe you're operating a board and breakfast. They inspect your house and say, sorry, Representative Agrounds, in fact, you aren't doing that. Have a nice day. And they leave. Is that what we're concerned with?
Either that or maybe I do have some boarders. They still have the right to come pound on my door and have access just because they have cause to believe. What cause? How did they get the cause? Surely there's got to be some legal protections for the... I assume that there are. You see, I may be just looking under the bed. But that seems to me to be awful broad and permissive language. Mm-hmm. That it totally, apparently in the judgment of the division, they have cause to believe. Well, is that because somebody called them on the phone anonymously and said, I believe that person is okay. in violation? Or
Representative Agron, if we took out has cause to believe and simply indicated are operating without registration, this would put, I think, a greater burden of proof on Senior Services. But if, in fact, there is a situation where, well, wait a minute, how would they know? They wouldn't be able to prove it.
Yeah. Well,
they took,
know.
If they took that language out,
I guess I need to ask a lawyer.
Could you call Kathleen?
Because...
And we'll take a two-minute break while Kathleen gets here.
Yeah, it may be that I'm just parking up. Maybe there is some. If you've got a warrant, you've got to go to a judge.
Okay, and that's
a judge.
Well, we're in recess.
I know we are.
What's your other question, Representative Batlow?